The Amazing Race Specialists are back, and we are here to talk this episode of The Amazing Race, episode 4. And we got half an equalizer?
I guess.
I'll take it.
Really, what we got out of this episode was what I was hoping for, which is a big shift in the placements. We didn't necessarily need an equalizer to do that. I'm just happy that it happened.
Yes, same. So they have to travel to Budapest, Hungary. And there are two different trains that they can take. The faster one that gets you in about an hour early. And that has many transfers and you are not sleeping, basically. And then you have the direct train that'll get you in an hour later from that first train, but that's a sleeper car. And sometimes, I don't know, the sleeper car and the hour deficit might be better because you'll have that sleep under your belt. You won't be as sleep deprived. I don't know. All the transfers make me nervous as well. So,
oh yeah.
I don't know what the best decision is in this situation either. Like, I almost feel the direct and sleep is almost better, but at the same time, it's an hour difference.
It is. I wasn't sure either. I mean, I was thinking like, yeah, do you prioritize the sleep or the hour advantage? And it depends on how far behind you are, because some of these teams didn't have a choice. And so I think I would actually rather be in that situation where the decision was made for me.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Christine and Rabina were in that quick choice decision because they were the last team eligible to get that decision. And they chose, you know what? I'm old. Let me sleep. And I thought that was hilarious. All right. So we have a huge gap in finish times here. Mm-hmm. We have Natalie and Stephanie leaving at 2:43. Jag and Jas 2:44 because they stepped on the mat basically at the same time. Tucker and Eric are then in third place, 2:58. And then we get an hour before Joseph and Adam start the race. And then Hannah and Simone are next at 4:23. Izzy and Paige, 4:44. And then Christine and Rabina, 5:28. Jack and Chelsea, 6:31. Kyland and Taylor, 6:45. And Kat and Alex, 8:08.
8:08. So almost 6 hours or 5.5 hours, you know, start to finish.
Which is insane. This gap of start and finish. And we didn't get a full equalizer. I'm happy for the shakeup and that, you know, this travel time almost equalized some people because an hour isn't that big of a deficit to make up, especially when certain tasks were maybe taking some people a few tries. Also, they hadn't slept for 2 days before this leg because, as they said in this episode, the overnight trains are really killing them, which is a new added element, I think, to the race where they don't do this often.
I had noticed where it's like there's a lot more train travel in this one. I guess it makes sense. This is European adventure, right? So it's like you're in the same country. You're just you're just making your way. They're sort of doing a Destination X part two here.
Once in Budapest, they have to go to this bathhouse. And this is where they find their first clue, which is route info, and look for a king to get a clue. This episode has had some of my least favorite route infos. It makes no sense. Why do we have to find a king? It does nothing to stop anybody up. But they look for someone playing chess in the middle of the bath, which I thought was wild that this is like something you do at the bathhouse.
I guess so. I thought chess. I thought this was hilarious because they made them get all the way down to their bathing suits just to walk in for about 15 seconds and find the thing. The challenge really was opening up the thing and you know, how long it took them to figure that part out.
So the king actually untwisted to reveal the next clue, which led them to another part of Root Info, where it was the fast forward. So this location was the fast forward or continue on. And the fast forward was solve a Rubik's cube in 7.5 seconds or less. And you both have to solve this under 7.5 at the same time or within the same like trial.
Right.
No.
Okay. So look, I'm a huge nerd, but I feel like I am not good at a lot of things that are typically associated with a nerd. Like, I feel like I'm not good at puzzles. I don't really like puzzles. I'm not good at a Rubik's cube, you know? So
with the Rubik's cube is they gave you a map of how to solve everything and it was the same each time. It's not like, all right, this is the formula and then try and like get it. So it's the same thing every time. So it's just making
it's just getting the muscle memory down.
Yeah. Of like, okay, basically. First it's up, left, right, down. So this version, I'd say we could possibly do, but without knowing that we get the same cube each time, the detailed instructions, like
we probably just would have kept on going.
Oh,
I think that the hardest part of this probably would have been waiting for them to reset the cubes each time. That's the part that probably would have taken the longest, I would imagine.
Or do they have just a bunch just stacked in the back?
That's my thought, is that maybe they would have a bunch stacked, but you never know how many tries this could have taken them. And one other thing I thought is that it's also an advantage for the first team that gets there, or the first team that tries to attempt this, because all the other teams got there and they were like, well, there's a team already in there. Yeah. Let's not even attempt it. So even if it does take you a long time, you still have a huge advantage just by being the only team that's going for it.
Exactly. And I think we've seen a bunch of times where some people go and do the fast forward also. And that's always like so risky. Like if you're even if you're in the back of the pack in a normal leg, you still should not attempt this fast forward.
No.
Just like so risky, because then you're even further behind because you haven't done any part of the leg.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it then. And like last season, it was a little easier for everyone to do it because it was the soccer challenge where they were kicking the ball around. So like everybody was there already doing the roadblock. And so you had the opportunity to go for it. And in this one, you really had to commit more, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. Because it was like, all right, stay here and do the thing or continue on.
Let me see. So John said, how can they incentivize other teams to attempt the fast forward? Just by doing that, by having it already be part of the roadblock and having the teams already there and like adding on another task in the middle of the roadblock, I think would be the way to do it, like they did last season.
Yeah. But I like this version almost better because it's like, it just feels like true Amazing Race with the fast forward. Like this is how it was designed. Either like Jag and Jas and Tucker and Eric could have gone in together and been like, all right, let's duke it out, because they are so far ahead right now. They do have the time to kind of see.
Yeah, they have time to spare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jag and Jas said no. So Tucker and Eric said yes. And so we head into the roadblock from, this fast forward, which is who thinks they can coach.
Well,
I've ridden horses before. If we know that there is horses around, yeah. I'd say put me in.
I say have at it.
All right.
I say go for it.
I'll take this coaching job.
Let me write that down because I am keeping track of who's doing which one each time.
I think we're pretty even so
far. We are pretty even. We're 2-2 and now you're at 3.
All right.
So that couldn't be any more even.
So myself, Natalie, Izzy, Simone, Jag, Joseph, Alex, Christina, Jack, and Kyland decide they can coach. Some it came more natural to, and then others it didn't.
No, it did not.
The funniest thing to me was Joseph when Adam made the joke of, oh, once Taylor shows up, Joseph starts performing every other time he's hitting the cones.
That was hilarious. Like, I wonder what the dynamic would be like to be with your ex.
Yeah, right?
Like you're not even partnered together. You're just there.
And Taylor's going, good job, babe. Go back.
Yeah, I thought that would be crazy. Like, how would Joseph feel about that? Like, but they seem cool. You know what I mean? Like, they seem like they're friends.
Izzy was so excited about the horses, and then all of a sudden was just like a mess for a bit, and then got on track. It was a learning curve for sure for people.
Yeah. And 45 seconds is not a lot of time.
Though people were finishing in about 30, but then it was
either
30 or like 1 second.
Yeah, left. But I would be if I was doing it, I would probably get in my head a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. Just to me, 45 didn't seem like a lot of time. No team really had many problems with it. It was like you had to get the hang of it. Mm-hmm. But 45 seconds is not even a long time to get a hang of it if you weren't comfortable with it anyway.
Yeah, that would be my thing. Is like I've ridden a horse, just like me on the horse with the reins, mm-hmm. and not like me sitting on a cart and two horses. So like that in itself is a bit wild for anybody else who has had equestrian experience too. It's like a whole different beast. So Joseph and Adam actually got lost here trying to find the roadblock. So were Kyland and Taylor. They didn't get dropped off at the main gate. They got dropped off somewhere else and had to try and find the clue box. Mm-hmm. Jas and Jag could not get a taxi, so a bunch of teams were passing them. And it wasn't due to anything that they were doing. It was just... They couldn't get a taxi because the taxi drivers didn't want to serve them, and that's just like their placement in this leg helps them in the long run because they were trying to lower their threat level, but at the same time it's due to some unfortunate circumstances, which is terrible also. Like they probably would want to place higher and be more of a threat than have this happened to them at the same time.
For sure. When they couldn't get a taxi, like I didn't really think anything of it. I thought it was strange, but I didn't think anything of it. And then they were like, let's put our hoods on. And then I was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
That makes so much sense. Like, that's crazy.
Because we've seen that happen before in the race. Like, we've had teams just not be able to catch a cab, are in the wrong area, wrong side of the road, what have you. We've seen it happen before, but I feel like we haven't gotten this, like, I guess, in-depth look of why they're not able to catch a cab. And it was, really eye-opening. And they went with public transport for the rest of the leg because they were like, this is more sure. I can get this bus, no problem. I can get this subway, no problem. And then we're more comfortable, running on foot.
And you saw how relieved they were when they found another man with a turban. And they felt comfortable that they could go and ask him. And that's why I'm like, I can never blame somebody when you're on these shows for aligning based off of, you know, culture or ethnicity, because, you know, these people have experiences like this in the real world. We just saw it. And so you want it, you're relieved when you see somebody that shares that with you and that can help you through that. So this, that was definitely a really like eye-opening experience, a really interesting part of this episode. It was terrible, but it, I think it, it was important to see.
And it really, like, they did well with it too. Like, Jag and Jas, like, explained everything well. That, and I think the editors didn't, like, make it overly emotional. They didn't make it, like, I don't know. They, sometimes
I thought it was handled well. And they even said, this is something that we're going to have to deal with. So we'll see if this continues to be an issue for them in other countries.
Exactly. So after leaving the roadblock, they get some route info to go to the House of Houdini to get some nonsense route info to
more route info.
I only care about the route info is when it's like episode one and the cheese. Like, you have, it's like a detour, basically a forced detour. This, there still was a detour, so why are we getting these nonsense infos? But it's because they have an hour and a half show to fill and they have to make them run more places. So we're in the House of Houdini, and you have to open all of the locks before you are able to get your clue. And the box is all a ruse, and it's actually just a sliding drawer that is on the bottom. But everyone seemed to get this just fine, except for Joseph and Adam, who broke their key inside the lock.
Yeah, what was that all about?
I don't know.
That was strange. Because they said they were talking about his popcorn muscles, like they're just for show. That was so weird. And they had to
they're
wait.
Real.
Yeah, they had to wait for their box to be reset. That was so funny. And then they got passed up. This route info was like whatever. I thought it was kind of cool because it was like Houdini.
I thought that was awesome. I thought they were gonna do, like, I don't know, something with Houdini, and then they were like, no, we're out.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. We did go to the circus tent, but it had nothing to do with Houdini. Whatever.
This clue was to their detour, and it is either juggling act or balancing act. And this is my nightmare, Kyle. This detour choice is my absolute nightmare.
This would be horrid.
Juggle, and you never want to do the dance challenge.
Never. Never. This is one where, you know, often we have a detour where one side is like tricky. But if you get it fast, then you're out of there. And then there's another one that can be maybe take a little longer, but it's more straightforward. In this case, both were terrible. Both were steep learning curve.
What's the third option?
I mean, my gosh, I would in the moment probably rather do the dance.
Yes.
Because I don't know. It's just dancing. But I feel like the rings would probably take faster. Like it would be faster to do the rings, because
we are going to be with 134.
Check this out. 134 attempts is still only like 20 minutes because it's 10 seconds. So it's like, even if we took 130 attempts, we'd still only be in there for 20 minutes. And I don't know.
Kyle, I'm going to give you a little backstory. I got kicked out of doing the juggling portion of my fourth grade gym show because I couldn't juggle more than three scarves, or like more than two scarves. I couldn't get the third one.
All right. So we would be revisiting some trauma here if we did the ring toss.
Yeah. Some deep-seated traumas here. So yeah. I don't know. I think it would be like my hand-eye coordination is decent for like a sports situation, but for a juggling situation, I don't know.
No juggling here.
That dance, one of us is going to have to balance the bottle, and I feel like they're forcing all of the guys in to do the stick portion.
Yeah, I couldn't do the bottle. I'll tell you that. I could not do the bottle. So we may be eliminated on this leg.
Yeah.
This may be the end of us.
This is the end of the road for us. But you're wearing the skirt because I'm going to be.
I'll take it. Yeah.
I'm going to be like Stephanie being like, I haven't worn a dress since prom. So. So the juggling act, they had to juggle 5 rings for a total of 10 seconds. The only 2 teams that decide to do this are Adam and Joseph and Taylor and Kyland. Mm-hmm. Taylor and Kyland seemed to catch on pretty well. They had a bit of a learning curve, but they kept adding rings steadily and only had a few attempts until they passed and left Adam and Joseph in the dust. Mm-hmm. And then Adam and Joseph were there forever.
Forever.
Joseph just could not really get the trick of the rings. They had to start a certain amount apart and then all of a sudden started moving and got closer.
They could not stay in place.
Maybe we could do it as long as we can get like this close to each other. But I mean, they still had a pretty good. I mean, not great placement this leg, so it was like it's all right. I don't know. Just both of these detours are so bad.
They're terrible. I mean, I don't know which is worse because you're balancing. If it was just the dance, it would still be bad. But the balancing,
I thought it was
going
to be a circus act with balancing because of the circus rings, and it was completely different. Like balancing act to me. Does not like scream dance with a bottle on your head for one person only, and then the other person has like a stick, but they're not balancing with the stick. So balancing act is a traditional Hungarian dance. One person has the bottle over their head and they have to like navigate this dance, and a bunch of people just seem to pick it up. Natalie has some dance experience, so it was just kind of hoping Stephanie can get her part on it. Izzy and Paige seem to do really well. Jag and Jass had to navigate the bottle a little bit because it kept slipping. Chelsea and Jack didn't do too bad either. They were toward the back of the pack, but like, we would have seen them. I think they would have let us know if they were struggling a bit more. Like the episode didn't tell us that, like, oh my gosh, that we're not getting this. Unlike Kat and Alex here. Yeah.
We
and
knew
had her typical like meltdown here. And it's just because they didn't have 8 counts. They were counting some way different. Mm-hmm. And Kat was just like, does not compute motherboard fried and could not just like get out of her own head because she also has like cheer and dance experience.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that like last episode they were still in the back of the pack, but she seemed like totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this leg she was really struggling. I also thought Alex, like, he struggled a bit in this race in this show. I thought he was a great partner for her. Like he really did his best to keep her calm. And they just weren't, you know, I mean, I think we knew that they weren't going to be super long for this.
Right.
You know, it made sense.
The placements got shook up, the eventual boot, I was not surprised by. So I'm excited for this next leg to see, you know, what happens with the race. We had Christina and Rabina here, and also Hannah and Simone are dancers. And we're just like, all right, we can get this, no problem, which they did, but somehow they like arrived. It was late. Like they left early from the horses and somehow got later. Like their timing, I was just confused by because they were, you know, ahead of Christine and Rubina, and all of a sudden they're the last ones to arrive to the balancing act.
Yeah, it was weird the way that things got shifted. People really did pass up each other in transportation. So that was another part of this leg that I really appreciated. It wasn't just at the challenges that people were passing each other. It was like people were getting lost. Mm-hmm. People just happened to be arriving before other people. So, I was like, when did that happen? When did they get passed up? And by the way, throughout all this, Tucker and Eric finally complete the fast.
Oh, yeah, forward. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, Tucker and Eric did complete that fast forward to get first this leg of the race, and they won a trip to Bolivia. Fun. But now they are, you know, at that top spot, which is very dangerous for everybody because they're similar to like Jag and Jas in just so strong competitively.
Oh, yeah.
But one thing that I really liked this episode is nobody was really working together, and Natalie and Stephanie still placed, would have been first had Tucker and Eric not did the fast forward. And there was no real helping this leg, and they are a really strong team and really good contenders for the win here. And I'm really happy about that.
Yeah. I mean, you picked a strong team. They definitely, like, they got third, first, and second. They're right up there. Didn't work with anybody hardly this leg because everybody in that alliance got
shuffled around,
separated. Yeah, so they're holding their own for sure.
Izzy and Paige are next here, and they're, you know, really surprising me throughout the race. I think their bond is just so strong that it's really helping them, you know, push through the race. But there is some tension between Jag and Jas and Izzy and Paige, because when Izzy and Paige arrived to the train station, Joseph was happy to see them. And then Jag came up and they were like, oh, kind of cagey a little bit. So I'm guessing with this double U-turn, the boys had mentioned maybe they would want to U-turn Izzy and Paige because they might U-turn them.
Yeah. I don't blame Izzy and Paige for not helping Jazz and Jack. Like,
don't no them helping. They already had their tickets. Like, it was just
there wasn't much there. If it was at a challenge, it would be a totally different story. I don't know how much they gained out of this. Certainly not any more than what they're about to lose if they get double U-turned here. But if I was them, I'd be thinking like Jazz and Jag have other people to worry about than us. Like, their perception is not that they are a strong
Tucker
team,
even though they've been placing be the well. Yeah.
Tucker and Eric would be the ones. So I don't blame them. They still might get U-turned anyway. They probably will, but I don't blame them for this.
Next, we have Kyland and Taylor. They skyrocketed this episode, and shortly behind were Jag and Jas, but Kyland and Taylor are now toward the top of the pack, and let's see what they can do with it. Do they, you know, crumble under the pressure? Did they just need this one break to kind of get up in the placements? Because these last few episodes, they haven't been able to like break out of the bottom because of the time differences.
Yeah, they haven't, and they didn't even need to use the express pass here. They got through it, and at first I was like, why are you even trying these challenges? Just use it. But that was a good strategy to, like, try the challenge. Kylan was like, let me do one lap around with the horse and just see if I can get this, and he did. He was slow, but yeah, they did it, and they got out of there, and then they did the rings, which they were great at. And they made their way all the way up to fourth with the express pass still in their pockets. So, I really like where they're at now.
Yeah. So Jag and Jas were next. And then we had Hannah and Simone, followed very closely by Joseph and Adam, Christine and Rubina, which they were in last at one point in this episode, and you know, made it just that those few replacements hire Chelsea and Jack and Kat and Adam. Kat and Alex. I feel like we do have like a few bottom teams that we're going to see. So like, I think Chelsea and Jack might go next, followed by Christine and Rubina. And that's, I think, where it gets interesting or a bit more interesting because these are your kind of more top teams. Mm-hmm. After that, maybe Hannah and Simone.
Yeah, I mean, we could just go down the list here. With Jack and Chelsea, Christine, Rubita, probably not Joseph and Adam.
I think Hannah and Simone would be next. But honestly, after that, I'm not too sure because I think one wrong leg and any of these.
That's what it's going to be is one wrong leg. And for Joseph and Adam, who have gotten lost multiple times throughout this season so far, that could end up
drive. And the other two teams in Natalie and Stephanie and Jag and Jas are like way ahead of them in placement starting out. They might not be able to navigate their way.
Yeah. And I think that the nine teams we have left are like a tier above the four teams that have gone home. Like the four teams that have gone home, I feel like in some order we would have predicted would have been the first four teams out. Mm-hmm. So this next bit here is going to be interesting to see.
You mean to tell me Enzo wasn't going to win this?
In my heart, he won the one. He wins every season.
So unless you got anything else for us, Kyle, I think that wraps up this episode of The Amazing Race.
I think so too. It's another fun episode, a lot of shifting placements, and I expect that that's going to continue now. We have a strong group left.
All right, so make sure you tune into the Patreon this weekend because Celestina and I will be coming at you talking fast forwards over on Root Info. So check that out, become a patron, and we will see you next week.